Good morning, brothers and sisters. Well, I've had a week's holiday and I was quite pleased to be able to go to Bible class on Wednesday. And one of the things that Bible class has just started to look at is the series by Brother Andrew Bramhill from Bible school last year, based on the writings of the Apostle John. And it was his first talk in the series. And one of the things that he concentrated on, and for those of you, you may remember, he talked about the women that are mentioned in the Gospel of John, and specifically those that conversed with Jesus. And I counted six of them. Perhaps those left it correct me if I'm wrong there. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, the woman of Samaria in chapter 4, the woman taken in adultery in chapter 8, Mary and Martha, and in chapter 11, and the anointing of Jesus' feet by Mary in John's Gospel towards the end of the Last Supper, and of course Mary Magdalene in the garden tomb. And Brother Andrew mentioned that each of these women bring a progression of understanding to our own discipleship as we consider the things that they learn and the things that they discuss with the Lord Jesus. And just one for your interest was the woman taken in adultery. And one of the things that she learned, and of course the crowd learned with her, was that there is need for repentance and there is forgiveness through God. And he gave a point for each of the women. And it got me thinking, really, because if you think about the Gospels as a whole, that's all four, every single woman that comes to Jesus comes there with a need, and she comes there with a real desire to learn from the Lord Jesus. And that's quite distinct from many of the men that come to Jesus. And perhaps a bit of a challenge, but can you think of any woman in Scripture, in the New Testament, in the Gospels here, that comes to Jesus to trip him up or to trap him in what he was saying? Can you think of any that were there to rebuke or to threaten the Lord Jesus? And I can't think of any, but perhaps you can come up with one. And with that in thought, I'd like to look specifically then at this woman that comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 in today's reading. And in verse 21 we meet her. And I'll just reread that section that Vic read for us. Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But Jesus answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And if you'd like to, we'll be referring a little bit to it, and the parallel account is in Mark chapter 7. And from Mark chapter 7, we know her as the Syrophoenician woman. That is, that she came from the area of Syria in Phoenicia. And so by birth, she's linked to Syria. And my mind sort of goes straight away to the story of Naaman, the Syrian that came down to Elisha to receive healing. He came with doubt, but he went away a healed man. But this woman is different. She came with no doubt whatsoever. At the same time, we learn from the Gospel of Matthew here that she came to him, to Jesus, from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And again, the area of Sidon reminds us of the widow woman that God sent Elijah to in a town called Zarephath, a town of Zidon. And Elijah meets her preparing the last meal for her son before they would face starvation. But let's just think about Matthew 15 and verse 22. She's described as a Canaanite. And of course, Canaan, as we know, were the forbidden inhabitants of the land of Israel. And this is ancient Canaan. They were banished by Joshua from Israel. And in a sense, they were banished from connection with God because of their evil practices. But not so this woman that we read about here, a woman of remarkable faith. And I'd just like to consider her testimony of faith. Firstly, in verse 22, she cries out to Jesus, but she comes looking for him for a start. How on earth she found Jesus, I've got no idea that she knew that he was going to Tyre and Sidon. Jesus was going there to be away from the crowds. But she finds him. And the first thing she asked was mercy. She recognises that Jesus has the ability to heal her severely demon-possessed daughter. And Mark adds that the daughter is young. She calls Jesus in verse 22, Lord and Son of David. And in that sense, we know that it means Lord and Christ. So she understood the promises to David. She understood God's work with Israel as a nation, that they were the sheep, God's sheep, he was the shepherd. And she understood that when Jesus said, oh, I'm not sent to anyone but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she also understood in discussion with Jesus that actually the overflow of blessings that were for Israel were also for these little dogs that were around the table, that other nations also could benefit from just the crumbs, the overflow of blessings that Israel rejected perhaps, or just didn't count as precious, or just forgot about, just fell on the ground. And she said, those nations, Lord, they can benefit also. So we see sort of some remarkable understanding coming through from her. She also comes and worships Jesus in verse 25. Mark adds that she fell at his feet and asked for help. Mark also adds that she kept on asking. And I sort of get the picture that Jesus is on the way to Tyre and Sidon. He's on a journey, at least. And that's when she first meets him. And later on, Mark tells us that in the house, she came to him. And the thought being, of course, that perhaps in this house, that's where the little dogs were that Jesus actually uses in his story. Or the woman picks up. And so we find as we read through both accounts that there's no way that this woman is going to be put off Jesus' silence. He's not going to answer her. The disciples saying, send her away. But she's not going to be put off. And I'd just like to spend a few minutes in thinking about this last point, that she's not going to be put off. She didn't take no for an answer, and she didn't just pack it in and go away because she was a Gentile, because she had no part, because she wasn't of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yesterday we read about the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14. And it's this miracle that the Gospel of John describes in chapter 6 as the beginning of the decline of Jesus' popularity. So again, keep your finger in Matthew 15 and come over to John chapter 6. So John is speaking about an identical time, the identical miracle of the healing of the feeding of the 5,000. And he says some very hard words to the multitudes that John notes for us in chapter 6. This business about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood. And in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, so those people that were following Jesus, when they had heard that saying, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" And of course they went away. In verse 65, it says, from that time, from the feeding of the 5,000, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And so Peter's declaring here exactly what the Syrophoenician woman declares. But the point is, Jesus said, "Well, will you leave?" Like the crowds that are leaving me now because of the hard sayings. And Peter says, "No. We won't leave because you have words that mean something to us. You have the words of eternal life." And so too now this Canaanite woman is saying a very similar thing in her actions. She's not going to just go away. But you'll notice that by comparison to the disciples that wanted in Matthew 15 to send away this lady. Verse 23, at the end there, the disciples came to Jesus. You know, they'd heard her crying out to him. They'd seen that he obviously wasn't going to answer straight away. So they besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." And they weren't happy with that. Perhaps they'd already told her to go away anyway, but they came to Jesus. And it is her persistence that brings discussion with Jesus. It's a bit like we've discussed before, you know, the three answers to prayer, isn't it? There's the yes, there's the no. Or perhaps in this case, there's no, not yet. And so the lesson, of course, is that we are not, as this woman was, not willing to do, not to give up. And she was not going to let others turn her away from being with Jesus. So the two perhaps lessons from her persistence. But you know, as you read about the disciples wanting to send her away, I can think of myself here. It's often, as you read through the Gospels, it's often the disciples that are the ones that are going to try and send away people. And just thinking specifically in Matthew's Gospel, later on we'll read about the children that came to Jesus. And the disciples are the ones that rebuke the mothers or the parents or the children, "Go away." And Jesus then turns and says, "No, let the little children come to me." On the road to Jerusalem, the two blind men, or the one in particular blind Bartimaeus, he's told to be quiet. We read about yesterday the 5,000 men, plus women and children, and the disciples, for good reason, wanted to send away the crowds. You know, it's getting late. What are this great multitude going to do in the desert, in this wilderness area? Send them away. And of course Jesus said, "No, I want you to feed them." And even if you think about the parables of the tares that we read about in Matthew 13, where in the parable the workers in the workers for the master wanted to go and pull out of the tares. And Jesus said, no, that's angels' work. And so we find, we're not going to look at this one, but we find in John chapter 6 that Jesus says this. He says, "All that the Father gives me will comfort me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." And so Jesus wasn't about to do that here either. And he didn't answer her directly, but he did in the end. And so we find this wonderful declaration of Jesus to the woman in verse 28. He says, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And so this is Jesus' declaration. Great is your faith. And we learn that Jesus performs a miracle, one of these miracles at a distance. Wherever the lady lived, somewhere in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, Jesus heals her daughter. And he did the same with the nobleman's son, and he did the same with the centurion's servant. The woman asked for just a crumb. She wanted just a little remnant, just a little blessing. And of course, we know that she received 100-fold the healing of her daughter. She received, as Luke describes it, a good measure and pressed down. So let's finish then with that aspect from Luke chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 30. And I just want you to think about, as we read, think about Jesus and think about how he lived. And how he lived such a life of example. And may, of course, he be our continual example, brothers and sisters. So Matthew 6 and verse 30. Jesus says, "Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again."